Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and Discussions for Women in Leadership. It is Thanksgiving Eve, and we are here in Studio G again this week to talk about the Omega Leader and how the styles and principles of an Omega Leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio, we have with us Lori Beth Jones, the speaker and author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And representing the business pillar is Vicki Arteaga. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Elisa Holston, representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
I think Vicki may have had a little bit too much pumpkin pie tonight, so we're going to have to kind of monitor her as we go along here this evening. But nevertheless, we are grateful this evening for all of the abundance and blessings that we have in life and that we have been given, and we're grateful for this time with you this evening for the next 30 minutes to talk about leadership. And our topic this week happens to fall on the concept of betrayal. But before we get into that particular discussion, we're going to ask for Lori Beth or Vicki or Elisa or someone here around the table to give us a definition of what is an Omega Leader.
I'll do it since everybody has had their turn.
Great.
An Omega Leader is someone who is able to incorporate the Alpha style of leadership, which is authoritative, my way or the highway, and the Beta style of leadership, which is cooperative, collaborative, let's all work through this together. And the Omega Leader is divinely connected to God as source. So the Omega Leader is always looking to God as the highest authority in whatever decision that they make, not just on paper, but in reality. And I was researching a concept called the radical center, and it's actually, it's many terms, but it's also a mathematical term, and I tried to understand it, but basically, if you have three circles and you have the radius of each circle continue out from that circle, there is a point where they all converge, and that is the power point. That is the most powerful aspect of those three circles. It's the radical center of all three circles. And so, in a way, the Omega Leader is that. It's the perspective of knowing the Alpha, knowing the Beta, having that divine connection, and then that God being the center, that's where the power really is. So it's fun for me to play with math on occasion just to think about spiritual principles.
Very interesting. Great point. Well, last week we talked about the WOWSY concept, which stands for with or without someone else. And this week we are moving into betrayal, which both of these, several of the last four or five shows and probably four or five of the shows out here in the future are around the concept in your book, Lori, the strength of action. And when we're talking about the actions of a leader, these are the kinds of things that tend to show up. You know, people are with you one day and then they're gone the next day, or there's staff changes, or there's loss of revenue and misunderstanding, miscommunication, all these kinds of things that a leader in business or in the home or in life or in the church face.
Right.
And so betrayal is one of those words and one of those characteristics and experiences that we have to face. And so as leaders, how do we do that? And that's where we're going tonight.
Well, it was interesting to me when we started talking about this concept that when you think betrayal in Scripture, particularly with Jesus, you always think of Judas. But as we were sitting here in the pre-show going through the Bible, betrayal started with Adam and Eve betraying God, and then we've got Cain and Abel, then we've got Joseph being betrayed by his brothers. We have Pharaoh first saying that he's going to let the people go and then changing his mind. Saul and David, David was his employee, and then he betrayed him. And then we have Saul in the New Testament who was trying to kill Christians, and then he had the Damascus experience and then became Paul. So either side of that felt betrayed by him at one point or another. Then we've got Jonah betraying God initially by running and not answering the call. And we have Samson and Delilah. We talked about Esther betraying her people, you could say, because she didn't come out as a Jew in the very beginning. So she was she betraying her people by leading a double life? And then when she did come out, had she betrayed the king because she had deceived him somewhat? So betrayal is very subjective. And it's also a theme that runs throughout Scripture, throughout everyday life. You read the newspapers, you go to divorce court, you watch the soap operas, you go to a Shakespeare play. It is a theme of life. So an Omega leader is bound to experience betrayal at one level or another. And how do you deal with that, and how do you move on? And the chapter title was basically, he knew no one could ruin his plans. And that's the great theme. But we have some great questions here, so let's get to them.
Well, kind of boiling down, I mean, the idea, and you alluded to this before, that betrayal can be relative in a sense, perhaps relative to the beholder, just like beauty may be in the eyes of the beholder, perhaps betrayal is a matter of perception. So talk to us a little bit about that, and what, if anything, does that have to do with the elements?
That's such a great question, because fires can very easily feel betrayed because they literally lay it on the line. The line in the sand is very much a fire technique. You're either with me or against me.
Yes.
So if someone doesn't cross the line, the fires immediately go to betrayal, when it could be that there's a water standing there thinking, you know, if you go this route, you're going to die. But if I came around from the other side and we slowed down, maybe we're all going to live. So betrayal is very subjective. Fires are, I think, the first to feel betrayed. Waters are probably the last to feel betrayed, because they keep saying second chance, you know, they're going to come around, they're the eternal optimists in relationships. And yet once a water does feel betrayed, like I say often in my seminars, like water that's boiled over in a pot, you're not going to get it back again because it has evaporated into, it's gone. So they're slow to leave, but when they go, they're pretty much
gone.
And I think Earth's probably experienced betrayal a little bit every day, because things don't go as expected for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the winds can feel betrayed when someone doesn't listen to the rest of their story. I mean, it's, winds are hypersensitive about betrayal, because they're always looking for attention and fearing rejection. So betrayal is the ultimate rejection, and winds have a great fear of that.
And I was thinking through, as we were talking through the show, I was... maybe it's always, as I sometimes happens with the show, I kind of project my own experiences, you know, and I was thinking through some recent events that I've experienced with some shifts in staff this year and some challenges in terms of program implementation, and how I perceived being a double fire, and it's very true that I perceived the route or the path of action that some staff members took to find a solution to a problem. I perceived it as betrayal, but I think in their minds they were just taking the shortest route to a solution.
Right,
and
which it had is what water does.
And it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
It was just taking the shortest route to a solution, so that's very, very powerful. What? How should the Omega leader then respond? I don't know if you want to carry that through the different elements or in a general statement. So as a fire, perhaps, being quick to jump to betrayal, is there something, a perception, a stand, a lesson that can be learned, the waters, et cetera, is from the leadership perspective?
Yes, and I think that it's important in leadership not to be quick to label something betrayal, because it could be people approaching things from a different angle. And my mother told me, you know, treat everybody well on the way up, because you never know what you're going to meet on the way down. And the thing is, life is a circle, and you will see them again. So you can, I remember there was a George Clooney movie where some girlfriend or wife or someone betrayed him, and they were on a spaceship, and he put her into a space thing, like a capsule, and literally pushed the button to just obliterate her and send her into space. And the look on her face, and I mean, the people in the audience were literally gasping for breath that he would do this, because that's really not what happens. They do come back. You will run into them again, whether it's at Starbucks or on the other side of the issue or as a boss or as a worker or as someone taking care of you in the nursing home. Uh-huh. You know, so it's a circle. So I think to really forgive, that's why Jesus, you know, he kept forgiving. They know not what they do, which is the most generous
positions.
The generous of positions. And I think the other thing that I love Abraham and the way he treated Lot. Lot was just selfish and short-sighted. And Abraham would say, okay, let's pick the land. You get to pick the land. And Lot would say, I want the hill, I want the hill, I want the best, you know. And so he'd say, okay. Abraham was so in love with God and so comfortable with his lot in God that he didn't care that other people were constantly taking advantage of him. And God held him in good stead, and he is actually the father of religion that exists today.
Yeah.
You know, so he certainly was betrayed many times, but he was always so generous about it. And when you feel that connection with God, then you can afford to be generous, because no one can knock you off the seat at the table that Christ has for you.
Powerful.
What about taking it kind of in a different direction for a second? What about change in relation to betrayal? A leader, you know, moves into power or moves into the new office and promises change, promises a list of things that they will change, or a thing, a list of things that they will build upon from their predecessor. Or, so change is associated at some level with betrayal. You know, how does that play into leading?
Well, I had a lesson from my friend Catherine Calhoun, and she taught me this a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. And she said, basically, people act in their own enlightened best self-interest. So even when someone says, I love you, I'm going to follow you forever, you have to know that there's something in it that is pleasing them. And the truth is that when something stops pleasing them, they will do something else. They will go to the next thing that pleases them. And Jesus was aware of that. He said, you know, he didn't need to have anybody tell him what the heart of man was, because he knew what the heart of man was. And we were talking in the pre-show about the scripture that says, do not lean on reeds. And any time you are really counting on someone to be there for you at an existential, spiritual level, you're going to get disappointed, because unless you're in military, you know, obviously trust is the foundation of society. But there's also enough betrayal in it to realize that people are going to act in their own self-interest, and when that changes, they're going to go where it changes, and Jesus knew that.
Yeah, and so, you know, in business and in the church or in government, education, and each of you have probably seen this in the industries that you're working in, a leader has a vision that might be different than the leader that they're replacing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, sometimes we as leaders, and maybe women leaders in particular, I'm not sure, but we maybe pare the vision a little bit depending on the audiences that we are speaking to, because we don't want our vision to be perceived as a direction that someone would not follow us. And then when that person decides that they're understanding our vision and the direction we're going, they decide, you know, I really don't want to have any part of that. I didn't know that that's where you were headed. And so sometimes we set our vision aside, maybe, because of betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Or fearing.
Fear of betrayal, yeah.
Fear. Or a fear of sticking to that. So I don't know if anyone has seen that, but for some reason that's coming up for me right now as we're talking about this whole process of, because you said change or betrayal was subjective.
It's a feeling. This is a feeling. It's a perception, like Lisa said. And if so, then those betrayal has different faces, and depending on how you move or your feelings move towards that feeling, of feel betrayed, like disappointment, anger, deception, motivation to
sure.
revenge or to prove. So, you know, the take my very depending on how you said yourself.
Right. So a few months ago, I had a situation with my family where I made a decision, something that I felt like I needed to do for myself on several levels, but it was perceived a little bit as betrayal by some of my family. And while it wasn't intended as betrayal, it certainly was perceived that way. And so I think in leadership and in life, I think you're right. It does. It is based on feelings a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I feel betrayed, or I feel let down, or
mm-hmm.
I feel disappointed,
mm-hmm.
or, you know.
I wonder if women are more susceptible, and I certainly don't mean to generalize, but given, I mean, the whole concept of mega leader is that perfect bond of the alpha and the beta, and that more women tend to be more beta, which is a little more affective. Are women leaders more prone to feeling betrayed because women tend to be a little more beta, a little more affective in a general sense? And, or is that a stereotype and a myth?
I think that it's been written about a lot and talked about a lot,
mm-hmm.
and certainly you see guys that are enemies in one instance go out and play basketball and slap each other on the back and go have drinks afterwards, I think. So maybe there's some truth in that, but I kind of get nervous when we start saying that because,
mm-hmm.
you know, betrayal can, I think it is elemental,
mm-hmm.
more than gender.
Okay.
And I think that to just say that women feel one way as
sure.
opposed to men, you know, you can see it acted out in so many different ways.
Right.
So.
And I think one way to look at betrayal and see if, you know, as you as leaders, if you feel betrayed by somebody, and usually the feeling is somebody that you have a trust or a friendship, it's not somebody in the outside, I don't think you feel betrayed by somebody
mm-hmm.
that is in the outside. It has to be your inner circle, somebody
you
that
don't
you
feel betrayed by somebody you don't care about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but wouldn't that be better, you know, just taking when you get those feelings of betrayal, to take a step back and consider the source, first of all. You said, okay, so I'm feeling betrayal, I feel, you know, wronged by this person, but wait a minute, who's this person?
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to see if it's a feeling that is justified, that is rational, or that might be a misinterpretation, a lack of communication or miscommunication. Now, how do you work? How does a leader work out of that feeling? Because in the moment you stay with that feeling, then I think you can get paralyzed or angry. It can boil into more anger. So how do you turn that, catch yourself in that moment and kind of work it out? And depending on where are you?
Well, in the pre-show when we were talking about that, leaning on reads, I think it's very important for leaders to check their feelings and make sure and process them and filter them and not be so quick to label something as betrayal. And when I was sharing in the group that, you know, the scripture, he did not lean on reeds, and then Shelley shared the scripture, a bruised reed he will not break. And I think this is a very powerful, you could preach a whole sermon on that, that just maybe there was a bruise, maybe there was a little bit of a betrayal, but God did not break that bond. And we should not necessarily break that bond, unless, of course, it's a toxic relationship where someone is out to do you damage, and there's that. But I just think this is a profound topic in leadership because it happens all the time.
Well, and we've seen it over the course of the last year in some of the economic decisions that have been unveiled. A lot of folks have felt betrayed by lenders or individual investors and
politicians. And
exactly. So,
or even we were talking a little bit in the pre-show about just the going back to we were brainstorming, you know, examples of betrayal in scripture, and one of the things that we were discussing a little bit was that betrayal may, even though it's a personal interaction, it's an interpersonal interaction, I think in its essence, we kind of boil it down to it's an emotional response. But if you look at it, especially in the context of Christ, that betrayal was essential to the accomplishment of his mission. If you look at the betrayal of Judas, those steps were necessary in order for him to accomplish his mission. So it goes back that what one feels in a given moment, and like Vicki was sharing, it may feel like everything in that given moment, stepping back, seeing it within the context of the big picture, it's a step towards an end. An uncomfortable step, but many times the steps toward an end are uncomfortable steps.
Right.
For the betrayee and for the betrayer.
Yeah, like what happened to Judas.
Right. Well, in the, you know, the, I'm thinking of the country song, God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You, that all these things work together for good. So even when someone does dump you out of the truck because, you know, it didn't take you all the way to
town. Or you lose your mortgage, you lose your house.
Or something. You lose your job. The things that God's hand is in all of it, and there's nothing is going to ruin God's plan for you. And in Jesus Career Counselor, my book coming out in May, I talk about regeneration. And there's... you know, when you look at a tree stump, you're going to see shoots growing out of it. It's just in the nature of the universe to grow something, to live, not die. And even if you cut it up, then it's going to live in pieces. I learned that a starfish, you know, it's a hologram. You can cut a starfish into any different piece, and it's going to regenerate, but it has no centralized brain. So I don't quite know what to do with that information, but it's sort of like the internet. You know, we're getting all this information.
Right, and ain't got no brain.
Ain't got no brain. You know, what do you do with it? And so it always comes back for me to the relationship with God. Jesus went often to pray. That is the one relationship that will never fail you. Even though on the cross Jesus said, why have you forsaken/betrayed me? Forsaking someone, abandonment, a betrayal. And so even then, when he felt like he had failed, and that even when he said that relationship was broken, the bruised reed God did not break. So, it's just, it's kind of like we were talking about Ronald Reagan saying, trust but verify. You know, trust people but verify, and just make sure that you're signing your own checks and, you know, having bonded people. And still, I mean, people every day at every level just make foolish mistakes based on trust, random acts of trust.
Trusting the wrong people.
Yeah, embezzlement, and, I just hear about it all the time. We hear about it in the news because that's what they report. But nothing is going to ruin what God has for you.
Yeah, and isn't that amazing how sometimes out of that brokenness, something, like you said, bigger or better, I come up. You're stronger after an event like that. You might feel less naive. You might be better prepared for the next one. You might be more cautious, or you might know how to react and not be just consumed by that horrible feeling of being betrayed.
Well, and I think, too, there's such a thing as misplaced loyalty. And in our work with kids in the gangs in our Path for Teens program, we had a lot of girls in the program who would not betray their gang leaders. And so it was misplaced loyalty. Women who will not report abusing husbands because it's betrayal. People who will not report drunken drivers because it's betrayal. That is misplaced loyalty that can and does lead to a lot of damage. So I think it's really important to make sure that you don't make another person your God. And that's the danger of trusting someone too much, is because then you look to them for approval. You look to them for support.
And they'll let you down.
And they'll let you down. You just, if you expect it, then you won't be surprised so often when it happens.
I was reading an article in Oprah's magazine as I was sitting in jury duty yesterday, and talked about what people's perception of good fortune versus bad fortune. And I apologize to the author because I don't recall her name, but it was an interesting article saying that, you know, it's about perception, you know, and you can take, and it named two coworkers. So we'll just say Lori and Shelley. So Lori and Shelley are coworkers in the banking industry. And Lori was new to the industry, and she kind of came in right as things were starting to spin out of control. And long story short, what happened was is that Lori worked really, really hard, even though the boat was sinking. Shelley saw an opportunity and leveraged an opportunity to do something that she had really wanted to do all along, very much along the lines with your work on the path and things like that. Bottom line, the premise of the author was is that when you sense these things coming, be it a betrayal or a shift or whatever it is, leverage it and leverage that inertia and that momentum to bring
mm-hmm.
about your desired
mm-hmm.
outcome.
Yeah.
To keep yourself on your path rather than fighting it or putting her point was don't put your head in the sand and work in vain towards something that you're not going to salvage.
Mm.
Take that energy and put it towards something that is going to take you where you want to go.
Right. Well, Vicki and I want to close with this. Vicki and I are working on our postcard, LBJ postcards on leadership, and there's two photos that I have in the book that we're working on. And one shows an old tree stump in Santa Fe, and it's dead. And there's a sign on it that says, no dogs allowed. And then I have a tree stump in my friend Catherine's yard that the tree was dying, and her husband Ed hired someone to carve it into a saint that's reaching out to people. And they're both dead trees. And one of them has decided, or it was decided for it, it was betrayed, cut down, so dogs can't even play here anymore, you know. No dogs allowed. It's just dead. I'm dead. You're all dead. And then the other dying tree was turned into a saint that literally stretches out in blessing to everyone who comes down the road. So which do we get to be of the dying tree? And I think that it's very easy for us to get bitter. And I think there's a scripture that says, you know, root out. Don't let bitterness or anger become bitterness and cynicism, but root that out because that will lead to death for everybody. No dogs allowed. And to reach out in blessing, even though it's, you know, you're a dying tree, to try to bless those around you. And when we do that, we are like Christ, and we are like Father Abraham, who says, go ahead and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and take it. You didn't make me. You're not going to break me. I have a better lot in another land. And so if we really believe that, then our actions will change and should change around trying to guard what's ours or find out who's really loyal and who's not. Because in the end, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, are you being loyal to God?
Mm-hmm.
Because God will always be loyal to you. There is no betrayal, even a bruised reed, even though we betray. God will always be there for us. And so that's why I wrote that very short chapter. We were commenting that it's, what, a page.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew that nothing could ruin his plans. He looked at Judas and he said, whatever you have to do, do it quickly. And Peter betrayed him. His mother betrayed him by trying to get him off of his mission at one point. You know, his family betrayed him. Don't go out there, Jesus. Who is my family? Jesus, you know, he was faced constantly with people letting him down and, quote-unquote, betraying them. And yet he, from the cross, he reached out to his mother. He reached out to the man who was dying beside him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So assuming ignorance of the people who are hurting you, a benevolent blessing for their ignorance, is it's very much like Jesus, very much like Abraham, and it's a beautiful way to live. So I hope our listeners contemplate this, and if you're feeling betrayed, think again. It could be only a feeling, because God is in all things, working for good for your life and ultimately for theirs. Blessings to you this Thanksgiving night. Mary Beth Jones and crew. Bye-bye.